Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 83, and today is Thursday, September 27th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so this is going to be another one in the series of episodes in which I'm going to be talking about the weather app I'm working on. And I'm kind of excited because I think I'm ready to ship, and I'm recording this about, 3 p.m. on Thursday, and I'll probably be submitting this evening. I did the always exciting thing where I take the version number of my app and bump it all up to 1.0, which is kind of exciting. I think it's basically ready. I've done my initial beta testing. I've done my as much testing as I can. I have nothing left on my to-do list, and so I think it's just about ready. So I'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show, but to start with, I was going to talk about one of the activities that you'll do towards the end of actual app construction, and that's performance improvements and performance testing. And it's vitally important and kind of a tricky problem, and so that's why I was, devoted at least half the show to kind of just talking about how I go about that and what that looks like. So performance is most often just sort of, you characterize it as making your app do the things it does quickly. And quickly is ideally defined as imperceptibly fast. So the goal would be that ideally the user never really is aware that any operation is taking time to perform. It just happens. It's instantaneous as far as possible. And there's a lot of tricks and things you can do to create either that illusion or performance-enhancing techniques and approaches that you can do to make that the actual case. What I've done essentially is, as I've talked about, I've built the app, I prototyped it, I worked on the sort of scaling on the feature set, understanding exactly what it is I'm going to build, and then I started this process of refinement. And you kind of want to think about this as, if you've ever done carpentry with a sandpaper, right, where you're going to sit down and you have the basic form, it's right there, and all you're going to do is take some sandpaper and you're going to be starting to smooth it off. And your goal is to make it as silky smooth as possible. And the way if you've ever done any carpentry, the way that you go about doing that is you start off with a really rough sandpaper. And your goal is you're taking off big chunks of wood at a time. You're kind of really, you're not worried as much about the precision of that. You're just kind of going at it. And then as you get closer and closer to what you're trying to do, you're going to get finer and finer sandpaper, and you're going to be doing smaller and smaller adjustments. And that's very similar to kind of the approach I end up taking with performance improvement, where what I want to do is I want to start off with making any kind of huge improvements, big chunks, things that I can that are going to have very big improvements and obvious advantages to the user. I want to do those first, and I want to kind of get the groundwork of that going. And so the way I kind of typically approach that is I'll just use the app and I'll be like, man, that's slow, and just sort of start an approach on some particular small area of the app or some focused area of the app. The number one rule of performance improvement is measurement. If you don't measure what you're doing, you're probably going to drive yourself crazy and you're not really going to make progress on what's happening. By measurement, what I typically mean is either in instruments, looking at whatever memory performance, frames per second, the time profiler, stack trace, like those types of things, or even just as simple as grabbing the time before and after an operation completes and NS logging that to the console. But if you don't have a measurement of what your baseline is, and then it's impossible to know if the improvements you're making are actually doing anything, and you'll just end up chasing your tail. If you're like, well, I think I changed when I made this change, I think that helped, but maybe I'll do this other thing too, and maybe I'll do this other thing. And then the second rule is that you, in addition to measuring everything, you want to only ever change one thing at a time. And these two things go together, and they should make sense, that if you are changing two things at once, then you'll never know what's actually changing. Or worse, you make lots of changes at once and then kind of run through the app. It's almost impossible at that point to get a good sense of actually what's happening, and you're just going to kind of drive yourself crazy. So for a performance measurement, like I said, I'll use a lot of instruments for a lot of it. And then the second thing that I do is just these print lines, and I'll have those all over the place. And so the first thing that I tackle, and this is probably, honestly, in my opinion, the most important thing that you can do as a for performance testing and improvement is that you want to focus on launch time. I think it's probably the most important bit of performance. I guess it's a bit strong, but it is certainly one of the most important areas of performance in your application, because it's the user's first impression, and it's an impression that they're going to be making over and over and over again. Now, I know the app goes into a background state and may not actually be relaunched a lot, but I want that app's launch screen to disappear as quickly as possible. And the reason for that is by definition time that the user is wasting. There are a couple of areas in your app where it may be great if it can be, you know, faster at downloading stuff, faster at this, faster at that. But often those things are happening while the user can do something else or is looking at something else. But with launch time, that's it. All they can do is wait. They can't do anything else while that happens. So you want to make that as fast as possible. And the first rule of making your launch time fast is doing almost nothing on the main thread from application did finish launching to view did load, view did appear. And hopefully those terms make sense if you're an app developer. But basically from when your app starts until you have shown things, until you finish showing something on the screen, whatever that first thing is, you want to do as little as possible on the main thread. You want to put off as much as possible. You want to do as few, the absolute minimum that you can. And that typically works out pretty well. By just wrapping up code blocks, things that you need to do in like GCD queues, or just doing things where you can say, like, you know, dispatch async on the main thread. And you're just pushing these things off so that if you need them to happen up front, you need to do these things right away. Do them early, but don't do them until you've started showing something to the user. It's just really important that you don't do that. And then the second thing that I do is you're trying to optimize that first, I guess, that first view stack that you're going to show the user. And so being careful about what you're showing, how you do it, and the data you load and the data you need is all an important part of that. And I mean, I know for what I was doing, went through this process in my app, and I was able to get the launch experience on a 4S down, like in sort of my naive, basic, simple solution. At one point, I think my launch time was about 2.5 seconds. And I got it down to about 0.3 seconds by a lot of these things, you know, so all those different things in aggregate. And then I was pleasantly surprised that when I got my iPhone 4, or sorry, my iPhone 5, my launch time is now down to 0.1 seconds, which if you think about how short of a time that is, it's basically instantaneous. And it looks basically like the app launches immediately, which I'm really, really proud of, and I really like that part of it. Like, that's something that it's like I show off to people. It's like, you know, let me quit the app, you know, in the multitasking tray and then start it. Wow, see how fast that was. Like, that's important to me, because at no time someone on an iPhone 5 should ever have to wait a perceptible amount of time for the app to load. Another thing I'll say about this is I fall firmly in the camp of you want your launch image to be the sort of the empty state of your initial screen rather than a splash screen or a banner or a logo. And a big part of that is that really helps with you the perceived load time of the application, because that will show instantaneously. And so it shows that, and then it shows your app. And so if those two things are the same, it almost looks like your app's loaded immediately, and just that extra point, you know, 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 of a second that it took to actually load is just almost like you can make it look like an animation, that it was a launching animation. Like your display is just fading in rather than you actually were doing stuff in the background. So those are some of the things I do about performance. Basically, you just want to, like I said, measure, and you want to change one thing. And you just keep doing that, and you keep getting finer and finer grained. I mean, towards the end, I was changing just tiny little things, tweaking the way that I was saving files to disk, saving the way that the data structures that I was working with that I was saving to disk and my caching infrastructure. Anything that I could do to just squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, making sure that all of my networking calls, as much as possible, are gzipped so that I'm loading as small amount of data as possible, trying a bunch of different JSON libraries and frameworks to find the one that would work the best with my data set. Because, of course, typically, in my experience, JSON serialization, like the built-in one to the system, is pretty good. And in this case, for me, it actually turned out that was the best. But in my experience, it's possible that another library could be faster based on your data set, because they're all probably going to, they're making certain assumptions. They're all making different adjustments and things, you know, how they're going to handle different encodings, how they're going to handle different data structures. And so you have to try these things to see which one's faster for you, not just which one's fastest based on benchmarks. And in the end, I'm very pleased with the performance of the app. I think it's fast, it's snappy. I was able to, on the 4S and 5, I have 60 frames a second animations everywhere. On the 4, I was able to get it to 40 frames a second, where at that point I just gave up because it's pretty smooth, but I couldn't quite get it more. And increasing, you know, the 4 is probably my performance baseline, and it is pretty good. I mean, it's visually smooth, but not as smooth as possible. And so that's kind of where I drew the line, which is an important thing too for performance. You don't want to go crazy and just constantly going down this rabbit hole. But once you ever get that good enough phase, it's great. And I feel like the app, I'm really proud of the performance of it, just sort of across the board. And so that brings me to the next thing. And so like I said, I'm basically getting ready to submit. The app, I said, is, I think I mentioned before, is going to launch hopefully on October 17th, which is in about 2.5 weeks-ish. It's about three weeks from yesterday. And I'm kind of picking a date that's based on a variety of things. It's making sure I have enough time for app review to go through. And the way I tend to do it is I try and leave about 2.5 weeks of time. App review on the iOS side has recently and typically been about a week. And so what I want to make sure is I always have enough time in it for two review cycles. So that's A, if they reject it for whatever reason. I mean, you never know. Like, for some reason, there's some weird bug that they find. You got to account for that. And then two, it's so that if I submit it, they approve it, and I find a problem, a beta tester, a preview, or someone in the press finds some bug that I want out, I have an opportunity to resubmit and have that approved, hopefully, by the time that I'm aiming to launch. I'm picking a day specifically so I can hopefully coordinate some marketing, some press, reaching out to my friends and colleagues and people to try and, you know, build some buzz and promotion around it. And I find having a day in mind is very helpful for that, rather than just like it'll launch at some point whenever it gets approved. And so I've set the release date to October 17th. Hopefully that ends up working out. Like I said, I'm submitting now. That's about 3 weeks. It should be, hopefully be okay in terms of getting that through app review by then. But you just never know. But the funniest part, as I've been heading down this road, and it's been exciting, that I'm like, yeah, I'm getting close. I'm narrowing in on finally being able to ship this thing. The hardest part, honestly, is sort of letting go and trying not to feel overly protective of an application. So I've spent, you know, it's a good amount of time. It's probably about 4 weeks of work at this point, something like, you know, which is not a huge project, but it's a substantial investment in time and energy and the various things I've bought, you know, in terms of graphics and fonts and all kinds of stuff to go into it. But there's something scary about letting other people see it. There's something scary about having other people look at it, and especially other people to critique it, to say what they think about it. Because obviously I think it's great, and you start off showing it to people who you know, you start off with people who love you, you know, your family, your spouse, those types of people, and then you tend to move out to people who like you, you know, your friends. And then you start to get into the scary part where you start to get into the people you respect, or hopefully and the people who respect you, which is starting to get into your colleagues. And that's where it really gets scary, because these are people whose opinion you know is more honest and whose opinion you value in a way that is different than you would value your spouse. Not that I don't value my spouse's opinion, but it's a different kind of validation, because when she says she likes what I'm doing, she's liking not just the app itself, looking at, you know, it's in the context of all the work I've put into it, in the context of, you know, all the decisions we've jointly made about it and so on. And so it's always a tricky thing. But I'm just sort of going to encourage everybody to, you have to let go. You just have to understand that at some point you have to sort of let the bird fly free or whatever, and just trust that you've made the right choices and hope that it goes well. That's kind of the scary point that I am now, and I'm starting to send out beta testing and getting feedback, and overall it's been positive, but it's just a scary point, and I just wanted to voice that because I suspect many people feel that you just kind of have this timidness to show it to anybody, but ultimately that's probably going to be counterproductive. You just have to let go. All right, that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, I'm on Twitter at _DavidSmith. And otherwise, I hope you have a great weekend. Happy coding, and I'll talk to you on Tuesday.